So would you do me the great honor of welcoming Charles Simpson to Cathedral? Again, so good to have you.
Thank you very much. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for your love, kindness, faithfulness, the great grace and mercy, the opportunities. Lord, if we could speak 10,000 languages, we couldn't say it all. Help us this morning not to say it all, but to say what you want us to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have a Bible and would like to turn with me to the book of Genesis, the first chapter, good place to begin. You missed that, but it's all right. Genesis means beginning. I appreciate being here. I'm honored. I just can hardly stand it. I really appreciate so much the pastor inviting me. You have a wonderful pastor and staff and worship team, don't you? That's right, you do. And I kind of resent the worship team a little bit because they get this thing higher than the ceiling, and then I have to come up here by myself. They're all gone. That's a bad feeling. But it was a good worship. And I just appreciate the kindness. I appreciate the introduction. I was born before self-esteem was invented, and my parents didn't know about it either. They loved me, but they were never impressed. Anyway, we have to get off of that. I know too many stories. And I appreciate the pastor pointing out my age. I'm glad he didn't say 18, he said 19, that helped. Anyway, thank God. The Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. What I want to do is talk to you about from chaos to creation. From chaos to creation. I appreciate age. I really do. I'm glad to be around. Anyway, I think of what Agatha Christie said. She said the smartest decision she ever made was to marry an archaeologist, because the older she was, the more interested he was in her. Anyway, I hope that'll work this morning. At least pay attention out of curiosity. Anyway, what I'm going to do is give you a condensed version, and you can add water to it later. What we're going to deal with, we could spend a lot of time that, of course, we don't have, but maybe we can plant a seed that God will use. My premise is that God can work with chaos. God can work with chaos. In fact, he does great things with chaos. Genesis 1, and I'll read verse 1 through 3. I'd love to read the whole chapter. I'm reading from the New King James. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now I'm going to stop right there, but I'm going to go to John, the first chapter, and read a parallel text. In John 1, you can listen or turn. I'll read 5 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Better translated, and the darkness could not put it out. Well, I love the Bible, and I believe it's God's word, and it's powerful, it's sharper than a sword. One thing I love about the Bible is that it's not just history. And I love history. It was my major in school. I love history because history got us here, and we don't want to forget our history. If we do, we lose our future, as Churchill said. But I love to take a principle out of history that works for me now. I mean, even though principles still work. Les Brown, a very well-known motivational speaker, said, methods are many, principles are few. Methods always change. Principles never do. And there's a principle this morning that I'm going to talk about, and that has to do with how God can work in chaos. Excuse me. Some people see chaos as an end. Some people understand it's only a beginning. In the beginning, the earth was. Now, there's a lot of debate about all of this. That is just how to read it. Excuse me. I don't know. Well, I won't leave that alone. That's the part you wish you could hear. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff written about Genesis 1. Even people who believe Genesis 1, the way it's written, there's this whole thing about chaos. Did God start that way? Or did it get that way? In any case, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. One translation for without form is chaos. That is, the earth was in chaos. It had no shape. It had no order. Nothing seemed to be in place. Chaotic. And then God begins to work. It could have remained that way. Chaos is always chaos unless God intervenes. Chaos is a terrible thing because you can't predict anything. You don't know what's going to happen. There's all kind of insecurity and often destruction. But the Bible says God was, God is. Colossians 1, interestingly enough, says everything that was made by Jesus. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We know that's Jesus. So however you want to look at this, everything was chaotic. Nothing was holding together. Nothing was predictable. It was just a mass, a jumble bunch of electrons, protons, neutrons, atoms, and so forth, way over in one corner of the cosmos. I love astronomy, especially the pictures. And here's the galaxy, the Milky Way, which when I was a child, I was taught it was a galaxy far away, and then we learned that it was actually our neighborhood. And we're way down here in one corner, and God puts his attention on this thing he calls Earth. And it's chaotic, and the Bible says, the Spirit of God hovered over it. That's the beginning of creation. The Spirit of God hovered over it. I'll tell you, I love God for a lot of different reasons, but I love the fact that he's not the destroyer, he's the creator. It's wonderful to know that, by the way. And I look back, I was thinking this morning about my life, and pastor was talking about he never wanted to be a minister. I didn't want to be. I'm a preacher's kid. My son is a preacher's kid. He says all preachers' kids need therapy. And I know that's true. I did. Oh, me. Nobody ever thought I'd be a preacher, let alone me. Anyway, and I worked hard at proving that was never going to happen. I was more normal than everybody else, just to let them know I was normal. And anyway, I look at the chaos in my life. Isn't God wonderful? That he can make something beautiful. And so the Spirit of God hovered, and then God's word came. God's word is powerful. Everything he does by spirit and word, or word and spirit. The combination of God's presence and God's spoken word have a creative effect wherever that shows up. And God said, God worded. Words are powerful. God worded and said, let there be light. How many of you know light is creative? Oh, we don't understand light. I mean, some people understand it better than others, and scientists certainly study light. But light is energy. It's dynamic. It cuts. I mean, we've moved away from old technologies into a new light technology. Communicating by light. Wow. Anyway, I've already gone past my knowledge. It's amazing. Light, and the Bible says in him was light, and the light was the life. How many of you know that light, sunlight, has a life-giving effect? It's full of vitamins. It's full of energy. You wake up to light, and light begins to quicken your body. And so there was light. And then God began, he began to separate things. He said, let the waters above and the waters below be separated. See, it was just a fog. That's terrible. You can't see. Anyway, you get lost. And he said, let's separate the waters above and the waters beneath, and then let's make land, and then let's create life. And pretty soon, everything is in its place. Order and life. Wonderful. Wow. He made something beautiful out of chaos. Everything that is made, Colossians says, he made it. The same one that's with us here today, you know, I love the scripture says, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, what a statement. The same spirit that hovered over Jesus and raised him up out of the grave. Wow, I feel like jumping. How many of you have the Holy Spirit in your life? You have it? Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I have the Spirit. Where is he? That's religion. Anyway, we're talking about the Spirit. Now this principle of chaos, the Spirit, the Word, the light, the life, is that just Genesis 1 history, or is it a principle that applies to you, to me? Is it cyclical? Has it happened more than once? Now, I don't mean in the literal sense of creating the earth, but recreating out of chaos. When Jesus came to Israel, 2,000 years ago, they were in chaos. Now, they didn't fully know it. How many of you know that you can be in chaos and not realize it all at once? But you see, they were, because their institutions were crumbling. There was corruption in the religion and the politics, and they were enslaved. How many of you know you can be enslaved and not realize it? Yeah, a lot of people are. Carl Jung said, people don't have ideas. Ideas have people. Sometimes our ideas are controlling our lives. We're getting bad input into our minds, and that gives bad input into our brain. That gives bad input into our bodies. And bad things are happening, and we don't realize it until we get 80 years old or something. Well, Israel was in bad shape. Their guiding institutions were crumbling. They were enslaved by Rome. And into that chaotic environment, and by the way, in a few years, Jews were going to be slaughtered. A Holocaust. Crucified on trees in 70 AD until there wasn't a tree left to hang them on. The Bible says Jesus looked at Jerusalem and he wept because he saw chaos coming. And the leaders didn't. He said, the blind are leading the blind, and they're all falling into the ditch. But into that environment, that darkness, emptiness, a little young woman in a no-name place, a place that nobody thought anything good could come out of. She's engaged but not married. And one day an angel confronts her and says, Hail Mary, blessed are you in the fruit of your womb. You're going to have a child and his name will be called the Son of God. And she is dumbfounded. How can this be? I don't have any relationship with man. How can I be pregnant, let alone with God? And he said, the Holy Spirit will hover over you. And that holy thing that you'll be born in, you will be called the Son of God. Into darkness, the Holy Spirit was hovering. The Word of God was coming. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. And out of the chaos and the sadness and the tragedy, a new creation came, the body of Christ. We're here today because God can create out of chaos something beautiful and wonderful. He didn't create the chaos, but he created in the chaos. And so here we are. And maybe so here you are. Maybe sometimes from our own doing, things get chaotic. Even in the lives of good people, people who love God. And it's so sad when it happens. I'm so blessed. One reason I feel so blessed is because I've had some friends a long time. A long time. And been able to do life together. It's wonderful. And one was a spiritual son since 1966. A beautiful voice. Nice looking guy. A little taller than I am, nice looking. When he smiled, he looked like a piano keyboard. Everybody loved him. One of the best worship leaders I ever heard. Became a pastor. Started a growing church. I was proud of him, spiritual son. He was like my own son. But things fell apart. He got involved in an immoral relationship, became an alcoholic, lost it all. If you've ever watched alcoholism or drug addiction or whatever go to its logical conclusion, it's chaos. I mean broke, dead broke. We spent 5 years on my back deck talking just every night nearly I was home. You know, some of you know what I'm talking about. It's only God can deliver somebody. 5 years, finally God delivered him. The Spirit. You know, God's day is not our day. Our day is 24 hours. God's day may be 24 days or 24 years. God's not in a hurry, but the hovering has its effect. And I love the song, He Will Never Leave or Forsake You. Oh, thank God. Aren't you glad He doesn't leave when you're ready to leave? Or when you left, He didn't? I saw the Spirit still on him. Oh, let me say this to you. God's a second mile God. He goes beyond the law. He goes all the way to grace. We really need that in the church, folks. Sometimes when you get in trouble among religious people, it's worse than if you get in trouble among sinners. Religious people sometimes forget they were sinners, and sinners know they are sinners, and so they'll have more merciful sometime. But I saw the light come. The Spirit was there. The light began to come. The Word began to come, and He emerged. Oh, 20 years ago, He emerged. And He began another ministry. He began to do some things He hadn't done before. He entered into a new season. He called me last week. He said, I've been offered $600,000 for my property. You think I ought to take it? From chaos to creation. I said, man, I love that chaos. Anyhow, how many of you know God's a creator? He can make something out of nothing. I walked with a spiritual son. I tell you, I emphasize spiritual son because if it's somebody you know and all, and you'll pray for them and you mean it, but when it's in the family, I mean, you know, that'll grab your heart. I saw this man enter 7 years, a seven-year tunnel. He had problems. He had to have vertebra replaced. He got dysautonomia. Autonomia, a disease or an inflammation of the nervous system. It'd pop up anywhere. His wife, heart trouble. I mean, we could talk and we would sit week after week and talk and talk and pray and talk and pray. And then the Spirit. And here's a man who not only had physical problems, he lost $80 million. But the Spirit, here's somebody who had lived well, now didn't know where the future was going to come from. Chaos. Friends, people that he had made popular and important and wealthy, forsook him. Real friends are there when you need them. And you don't know that until you hit chaos. But after 7 years, the Spirit was there. I'll tell you, the Spirit is there. He's here. He's with you. But you can't always feel it. How many of you know feelings will lie to you? I say feelings will lie to you. Some people feel good because they haven't read the mail yet. You know, your feelings will lie. Some people feel bad because they haven't read the mail yet. You know, feelings lie. Feelings will lie to me all the time. You know, God doesn't lie. Our faith is not how we feel. Anyway, the Spirit was with him. And then the light began to come. And he came out of the tunnel. You know, in Mobile, between Mobile, Alabama, between Mobile and the eastern shore of the bay, there's a 36-mile bay that runs between these Mobile and Baldwin County. And the interstate runs across, they call it the Bayway, and people zip along the Bayway. And then, people, especially people who haven't been in a tunnel before, they come to the tunnel. And there's kind of a sweeping curve, which it's an engineering. Anyway, it's sweeping curve going into the tunnel. Let me just say it was a mistake. And so people come to this curve and they slow down. And then they come to the tunnel. And if they haven't driven through a tunnel before and it's dark in there and you don't know exactly how long the tunnel is, and they slow way down. Well, people start backing up halfway all the way across the bay. I've seen people backed up 10 miles because of the tunnel. You know, everything backs up when you hit a tunnel. And a lot of people, they're in a tunnel that's been going maybe for years. There's no light in there. Oh, God, I thought I was saved. I thought you loved me. I mean, what am I doing in here? It's chaos. And then they come to the other side of the tunnel and, oh, hallelujah, then they go zipping along the speed limit, you know. But there's that slowdown. Chaos. Sometimes there are wrecks. That's a mess. It's terrible. A wreck on a normal highway is bad, but a wreck in a tunnel, that's nasty. Because they got to get in there to get you, and they can't get in for the car. Anyway, I don't have time to talk about that. But I have seen people in chaos. I've seen the Spirit hover. I've seen the Word come. I've seen light. Because it's a beautiful thing when somebody's been in darkness, and they start to see light. Oh, praise God, I thought you were gone. Light. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. What a beautiful scripture. I got Isaiah 61 at a stoplight. I used to drive to where I was pastoring, and I came to this stoplight and on a four-lane highway and had an arrow go left. I was to make a left. And it skipped me. You ever have a light skip you? It skipped me. And the people on the right started going, I'm sitting here. And then, you know, then the light shines. People on the other side, they're going. And I'm saying, now it's my turn. And it skips me again. Now, I'm looking to see if there's any policemen around. You know, I mean, maybe I ought to run this thing. Anyhow, and I know I didn't. I sat there. And then the light came, my arrow came, I took off, and I got this verse, arise and shine, for thy light is come. I said, that's it. There are a lot of people that are sitting at the stoplight, and it has skipped them. They don't have a turn. It's not happening for somebody else, but not for me. I'm in chaos. The Spirit is here. The light is here. The Word is here. And He wants to sort things out. He wants to lift the fog and put the water up here and the water down here separate. He wants to put some dry land and separate the oceans. And then He wants to create new life. I believe this is a cyclical principle. I believe that tunnel is not the end. It's a transition between eras and ages. Chaos is not the end. It's a beginning. It can be the end if you see it that way, but it can be a beautiful beginning if you wait on the Lord and let the Holy Spirit hover over you and listen to the word that He gives you. That's Jesus. And let Him begin to create. Let Him sort some things out. Maybe the chaos is in your finances. Maybe it's not your whole life. Maybe it's just part of it. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in your social life. Could be in your business. Wherever the chaos is, say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to turn the chaos over to you. I ask you to create something new. then listen for the word of God. It may not be the whole mile. It may be just a step. But listen, because it starts setting things in order. Thank you, Jesus, for being a creator. Your enemy, the enemy of your soul, is a destroyer, a doubter, a confuser. But there's one hovering over you that wants to put everything in its place and bring the peace of God that passes all understanding to keep your heart and mind from chaos to a brand new, beautiful creation. I pray that'll be everybody's journey. Thank you. Amen.